morning. It's nice that it's cooling off a bit. Welcome, welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. Summer is going fast, and hopefully it'll slow down a little bit more, but it's great to have you here for worship today, and there's a time of fellowship afterwards downstairs. There's goodies. The women's ministry are providing all the goodies and coffee and cold drinks, so I hope you can stay after to visit a bit. Also, we have, and there's the Women's Ministry Gardeners Market. Some of you have brought your goods, wonderful produce, so check that out. Make a donation if you're able to do that to Women's Ministry. Two births, two rosebuds, and Peyton Julia Gomes to Jordan and Emily Gomes, and Gavin Daniel Halfley, born to Nate and Kate Halfley, both on the 29th. So congrats to grandparents, great-grandparents, Papa, as they call you, Papa Glenn?
Papa G.
So Deb and Muffy Gomes and Stan and Elsa as well, congratulations. Also next Sunday, getting ready for the fall, safe church training. If you're in children's and youth ministry, Sunday school, you'll be there. And if you can't, you can work out details later, but it won't be a real long meeting, but it's just we need to go over that just to revisit some things and what we do. So hope you can stay on for that, the fellowship hall at 11:30 after fellowship time. Also, youth and children programs kick off on September 12th along with Sunday school. And typically in the past, we've had a DC Trailblazer, Pathfinder, Ice Cream Social. So that may still be in the works. This is the time when families invite their neighbors, invite friends, and it's how God expands the children's and youth ministry. Families and kids especially are looking for places to connect. And we know the best place is to connect with God and with one another. And they have a good, safe place here to come. So we know that that will expand. And Peg, you have something. Peg. All right. As we continue in our worship, let's open up our hearts and just kind of try and let things go. And we're here to praise the Lord and to keep on praising Him forever. Let's stand if we are able.
Please join me in our call to worship. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with cries of joy.
How majestic is the Lord Most High. How mighty is the great sovereign over all the earth.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises in God's honor. God reigns over the nations. God is exalted over all.
Praise the Lord, all people. Praise God's everlasting name.
We do praise you. We worship you. Praising you for who you are, our sovereign God, our King, our Lord, our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. You are worthy of all praise. Forgive me, forgive us for not always praising you, giving you thanks each and every day for all that we have, all the blessings, even in the midst of strife and challenge. But Lord, we want to tell you we love you. And Lord, would you help us give you all of our heart, all of our worship, all of our time, that you are part of every aspect of our life. You have penetrated so deeply within us that all we can do is live a life of praise and thanksgiving. Oh, receive our worship. We love you. We need you. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Fill this place. Reveal your glory. May we see your glory, Lord. Even now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The first scripture this morning is from Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. I'll be reading out of the Message version of the Bible. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything, any excuse for a song to God the Father, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Second passage is Peter 3, 1 through 7. And the same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, as indifferent as they are to the word of God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, jewelry, or your cut of clothes, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. The women of old were beautiful before God that way and were good, loyal wives to their husbands. Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him as, "My dear husband." You'll be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same, unanxious and unintimidated. The same goes for husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them, delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives, then, as equals so your prayers don't run aground. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And kids, come on up for your time with Miss Janie. Come on, kids. Come anyway.
Someone
Would you join me in prayers of the church? Oh, gracious Father, thank you so much for opening your arms to us, Lord, for hearing all of our prayers, all our joys, all of our concerns, and just to welcoming us at your feet. You are the God who walks with us. You are the God who hears us. You are the God who tells us over and over in your word that you will never leave or forsake us. So, Father, we come this morning before you with joys and concerns, and we praise you, Lord. We praise you for new life, for two new babies that came just a few weeks ago, and a new baby from Zach and Kiara from Frankie, who was born just a few days ago on the 10th, Lord. We praise you for new life, Lord. We praise you for your breath in those precious children. And we pray your hand upon them every day of their life, Lord. We thank you for that gracious gift. We thank you, Lord, for Gary and his surgery, the success that was. That, Father, they went in there expecting to do much more. And, Lord, you performed a miracle and showed that you were doing what needed to be done already. So we thank you, Lord, that that surgery was minimal. And we praise you, Lord, that there is healing that we can see even now. And we know, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen his body, Lord, and that pain will subside, and he will be back with us walking, Lord. We praise you for that. And we lift up his dad, Michael, to you, Lord. You know the struggle that's been going there, Father. And we just ask for your intervention, Lord. Only you know exactly what's going on and exactly how this is going to work out. But we ask that you hold him close to you, Lord, as well as the family. Prepare them for whatever may come, Lord, and just show your presence strong and your comfort strong to them. We lift up Louise Friedland, Jay's mom. Lord, we just ask that your loving arms would be wrapped around her as she mourns the loss of her husband, Lord. That's just a loss that is just so difficult at any time, Father. But we know that you are present, and she knows that you are present. But I ask, Lord, that you would give her reminders, many reminders throughout the day, how strong your love is, how you are there with her right in every moment, in every tear, in every joy. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are the comforter. We also lift her up, Lord, for surgery that she will be having. Father, we ask that you go before her, that you give her doctor's wisdom, that you prepare her body, that every logistical thing that needs to happen, Lord, that you're in the midst and working that out, that you would give her peace and that you would give her family peace and that everything would go smoothly and according to your plan, Lord, and that recovery would be quick and speedy so that she would be home in no time, Lord. We thank you that you are with her. We lift up Maya and Glenn and the girls to you, Lord, in this tragedy, Father. We know that you have a plan in everything, and sometimes to our eyes that doesn't look like a very good plan. But we trust you, Lord, and we know that you will make beauty out of those ashes, Lord. So we thank you for what you are going to do. We praise you, Lord, for insurance companies that cover loss. We praise you for those who have given financial donations and donate items in their time, Lord. We thank you for those that you have called to come and care for them and support them. And then we praise you and we look with excitement for, Lord, what are you going to do now? For we know your hand is upon them in their ministry, and whatever Satan has tried to come to destroy, you will restore tenfold, Lord, and we praise you for that. And we lift up the country of Haiti, Lord, as they just suffered a massive earthquake of 7.2, and there's much destruction and devastation, Lord. We know that even in the midst of natural disasters, you are there. So we ask, Lord, that you will bring those there that need to be of help, but that this would also be a time, Lord, that hearts would be wide open, that those people would see the power of you, Lord God Almighty, that hearts would be changed and drawn to you, and that there would be such a revival and a desire to know you in that land, Lord, that it would just shine throughout this whole world, Lord, because you do bring everything together for good, for your purpose, Lord. And Father, we lift up our brother Glenn and his family. Father, you know it all. You see it all from every side. And I ask, Lord, that you just minister to each and every one of them exactly where they need, that you draw that family together in love, that they are there to strengthen and encourage each other, to lean on each other, but that you're in the midst, Lord, that you bring peace and you bring healing and you bring order and you bring comfort and you make ways where there are no ways. So, Father, we just lay that at your feet and we ask you to come and work that out. And use us, Lord, as the body of you, Lord, to love on Glenn and his family and do whatever we can to uphold them during this time. Let your name be praised in this. Let you be drawn closer. Let them come closer to you, Lord, and know that you have carried them this far and you will continue on. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you because we know you've answered all these prayers. We thank you, Lord, that there is something amazing coming in each one of these situations. And we look with excitement and joy to see what will you do, Lord? How will these situations bring you glory? Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and always walking with us every moment of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Variable.
Grace of flesh and this body, oh.
was a real timid, mild-mannered man who was reading a book. He wanted to be more assertive. So he decided to start at home. He walked into the house and looked at his wife. He might have pointed a finger at her and said, "I'm boss around here now. I want my meals on time when I come home. I want a clean house. And you know who's, and after I eat and take my bath, you know who's going to dress me and comb my hair?" And his wife said, "It's got to be the mortician." Many have seen my big fat Greek wedding. I saw it a couple times. The last time on the way back from Rome, I was just dying. I mean, everybody in the plane was laughing hysterically. It's well known for things you can do with duct tape and Windex, right? But there's a great quote that fits for today. I forget her name. She's the main actress, but it doesn't matter. She said, "The man is the head, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn the man any way she likes." I think most guys know that about mom, about grandma, and if married, about a wife, too. I was at a Promise Keepers event many years ago. I was pastoring in Ohio then, and this was in Detroit, as I said. And actually, Mark DeBishop, those of you who know him, he was at this conference. We didn't know each other, didn't see each other. But, you know, it's a men's ministry. It's for men to learn about being a man of God. And a lot of people in society didn't understand about that. And outside protesting was a group of women, you know, and with a big sign. They had signs, they had posters. They said, "Husbands don't own their wives." You know, because they thought it was all about husbands lording over their wives. I happened to walk by them with a group, and I said, "Amen, amen." Kind of looked at me like, "What? Did you just come out of that conference?" In our world today, marriages, continue to face battles. Those who are married, you know, it can be a battle at times. And there's an enemy, you know, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Even families are under attack, stretched to our emotional limits, individuals as well. There's so much going on. There's so much uncertainty. So there's, you know, it feels like things are unraveling, falling apart. And prayers seem to be hindered. "Lord, how long? Why?" And our Christian witness has been lost. Why is this? Well, we know sin's involved. We all fall short. Hardened hearts. You ever had hardness in your heart against a loved one, against a family member, against a friend, or just somebody that, you know, in the neighborhood? It could be about self-centeredness. You know, hey, I know what I need. I know what I want. But what do we do with that? And why these struggles? Well, we're not living I'm not always living a Christ-like life. I'll leave it at that. You know, nobody's perfect, but loved ones, the world, they need to see more Christ-likeness out of me and out of you. And lastly, thinking we can right the ship on our own. I got this, you know, but that tends to be too controlling. And, you know, somebody's got to step in, but sometimes, you know, we're not trusting God, you know. Hallelujah, you know, trust in Jesus. He's walking with us. You know, take charge, but take Jesus along. Tommy Nelson puts it on the line for marriage, for family relationships, all of life. He states, "If your relationship to God does not show itself, show up in being tender and loving and responsive and respectful and servant-like, then it's not penetrating the most essential spaces of your life. If God's not showing up, you know, from me, even here today, then something's not penetrating to my very soul, my relationship with God. Well, our two passages focus on one word, and Janie hit the nail on the head, submit. You know, even kids have a relationship, or submission. You know, that's like a curse word out in the world, right? It's a dirty word. But may the spirit of submission, you know, penetrate our very soul, that it might, that the Lord might show up more, right? So in Ephesians 5, the context is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, and I love the Message translation, Janet. That was golden. Verse 21, submit yourselves, therefore, to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a mutual submission. That's what Scripture is all about in all relationships, especially church. It's not battering someone into submission. And I'll talk about that a little later. But it's important today, mutual submission for those who are married or who will be married. It's following Christ's example, who voluntarily submitted to God, to God's will. I mean, he was God himself on the throne in heaven, and he did not exploit that, but he came down, he humbled himself. If you want a bottom line about submission, it's a Christ-likeness. Both husbands and wives in marriage and for all of us in all relationships, it's a Christ-likeness. Sometimes something's got to die. In 1 Peter, this is part of a larger section that we began last week at 2:11 and on. It starts, you know, hey, we're just aliens, foreigners, strangers. We're just passing through here, you know, like we were singing. You know, this earth is not our home. We are heaven-bound, so we're only here for a time, so we're supposed to make a difference. I love that beginning. We didn't get to talk about that last week, but what we did talk about was submitting ourselves to the Lord. It's for the Lord's sake. And yes, coming under governing authorities and also in our employment or where we spend most of the time, where we have not masters over us, but an employer over us, even if there's suffering and hard time, there's a call for submission, a Christ-likeness. And again, submission is not about our worth. You know, oh, you want me to submit. You know, that makes me feel less. No, submission is not about worth. It's about a role, a Christ-like role. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live out submission as a servant, and we will always glorify Christ, and we'll always witness for him. Now, in both passages, their context, submission is a wider Christian virtue. I mean, it's for everybody. Yes, it's for the kids, too. It's for everybody to learn. And it's to be evident in all of our relationships. You know, what do people see in me? What do people see in you? What do they experience? Yes, in family life or in the neighborhood and at work. What do they see in us? It shouldn't be us. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. I didn't talk to Janet about this, but quite a scripture to read, right? Yeah, and we all felt that. We felt that, you know, we felt that. There's seven verses in 1 Peter 3. There's other passages we can go to further in Ephesians 5 about husbands and wives and about parents and children, you know, the house codes. But these passages, it's about husbands and wives, in particular, women married to an unbelieving husband, or it could be vice versa, not back in that day. But, you know, how the women of that day did not have any rights or privileges. They were more like property, I'm sorry to say that. And they had to take on their husband's beliefs, whatever they believed in. So something incredible happened when Jesus came along. And Peter's giving them a wonderful way to reach an unbelieving spouse or family member. And so we're going to get into that. But there are 6 verses for the women. There's only 1 for the men. What's up with that? So I thought to myself, hey, I know 1 verse. It's probably the only verse needed for husbands or anybody, but we're talking about husbands. And that's Ephesians 5:25. The Lord is saying to husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Only for the men here, how did Christ love the church? There's not many men here today. How did Christ love the church? Okay, anybody? He gave himself up for her. What more needs to be said? Right? He took up the cross, full surrender. Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to also love their wives. Well, all the sisters in Christ here today, all the women, you are all daughters of God. You are precious in God's sight. I hope you know that. Peter gives a portrait of a woman of faith. We're going to start down in verses 5 and 6. What he reveals are the deep, strong roots, or a root system that's underneath the fruit of submission. What helps spark the fruit of being subject to others or submitting, humbling ourselves. And in those verses, the roots, they make submission the strong and beautiful thing that it is. There's an adornment. There's something that shines forth from it. Verse 5, this is how the holy women of old, way back, the women of faith, the great women of faith of the Bible, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves. See, it showed by submitting to their own husbands. And the deepest root mentioned, and there's just 2 in the scripture here, we could add more, but there's 2 that Peter's talking about. The deepest root mentioned in the text is hope in God. Holy women who hoped in God. They did not put their hope in their husband or having a husband. One day having a husband, their hope was in God. That was probably pretty humbling for the men, right? What, I'm not all that? No, their hope was in God. She puts her hope in the promises of God. Proverbs 31:25 describes her well. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She laughs at everything the future will bring and might bring because she hopes in God. God has it. He has it. She looks away from the troubles and miseries and obstacles of life that seem to make the future bleak, and she focuses her attention on the sovereign power and love of God, who rules the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases on the earth. She knows her Bible. The sovereignty of God, his promise that he will be with her, he will help her, he will strengthen her no matter what. Are you feeling this? This is the deep, unshakable root of women of faith. Men, we can jump in there too. We can hope in God too, right? He's encouraging the sisters in the Lord. That's the deep, unshakable root of women of faith. Biblical roots in the sovereign goodness of God. Holy women who hope in God. There's a second part in verse 6 of this root system that will help the fruit of submission bear fruit. And you are children of Sarah if you do good, and you do not fear anything that is frightening. So this root system is about hope in God and a fearlessness. You fear nothing. Some of you have that. You know, it's like, oh. Or even some men, boy, they fear nothing. You know, it's all over them. They fear God more than anything else. The presence of hope in the invincible sovereignty of God, it drives out fear. Or to say it another way, the daughters of Sarah fight the anxiety that rises in their hearts. They wage war on fear, and they defeat it with hope in the promises of God. Hope and having no fear are visible and beautiful in Christ-like women. That's what is attractive and they're adorned with. And we can see how the life of serving like Christ, wherever they are, to a husband, to family, there's nothing to it. It's not natural, it's supernatural, but that's where it begins. That's the root system. And it's got to penetrate deep within each and every one of us. So verse 1, chapter 3, begins the teaching, the house codes. Yes, wives submitting to husbands, but husbands submitting to wives, because Ephesians 5:21 is the baseline for everything. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. A mutuality that is visible and beautiful before God and others. So verse 1, wives, be submissive to your husbands so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. Good play on words there. By the behavior of their wives. Because some did not believe in Jesus. You know, the husbands. They didn't worship God. So this was a vital role to be lived out by the wives. So that he will observe his God-fearing wife. Respectful wife. Loving wife. He will observe her and give his heart, his life to the Lord in faith. Now let's hold on a second here. Submission does not mean inequality. It has never meant that. It's been used that way. Or agreeing with your husband about everything. Let that sink in a little bit. There should be good debate and discussion, of course. It's not about one's worth or being less. Remember, it's a role. In verse 7, because both are co-heirs of the gracious gift of life. And submission definitely does not mean putting up with any kind of abuse either. And I know, you know, this may touch on some of you and your experience. But many Christian households, many clergy marriages have utilized this passage, the men, the pastors, to lord it over their wives. There's a famous book by the Alsdorfs. I think he was a pastor and emotionally abused his wife many years ago, the Alsdorfs. The title is Battered into Submission. Terrible, terrible reality. And I know if that touches you in some way and you've come out of that or grew up in the home like that or in a marriage, I pray and hope that God has brought healing and help. And even today we're going to have prayers for healing too. Because that's not what submission, serving a spouse is all about. So husbands and wives, parents, children, all family members who are not believers, let's shift to that. They need to see the gospel lived out. They need our relationship with God to show up, to shine forth. Lost my spot here. Oh, verse 2. For husbands seeing their wives purity and reverence for Christ, a godly fear. And verse 4, also having a gentle or humble and quiet spirit. And that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to talk, sisters. Just be patient here, okay? But though, that's the fruit, and that's what they will see, purity and reverence for Christ, and also a gentle or humble or quiet spirit, which is the heart and the spirit of Christ. You know, when any of us are under pressure, stressed out, tired, worn down, what generally comes out? You know, when we're squeezed, you know, something comes out. None of us is perfect. You know, when you squeeze an orange, orange juice is supposed to come out, right? So it doesn't always happen with us. When was your last one? Anybody want to share a story? No, no time for that today. But meltdowns can be a good refinement, a correction by God. You know, we know, I don't want to do that again. I said I'm never going there again, and here I am, you know. Those of you with younger children or caring for grandchildren all the time, you know. I mean, they can push all kinds of buttons. And we love them. But by submitting to the Lord, aligning our heart with Him, asking for mercy, for forgiveness and help, and reconciling, if we've, you know, my meltdown kind of spilled on you, honey, I'm sorry. And you make that correction, if that's the case. So back to purity and reverence. That in the wife here, and it could be in any of us, it's directed toward God. It's a pure life toward God. And yes, it's fidelity in the marriage, but it's directed toward God, a reverence. And it's lived out before him, her husband, in reverence to Christ. Verse 122 says, believers have purified their souls by obedience to the truth. There's that purity. A pure life revealing reverence for God. That's for her husband's benefit. And I like saying, and vice versa, right? You got to flip sides here too. What it reveals is godly. It's from above, the things above. Having a humble and quiet spirit. That's instruction for us all throughout the scriptures. Especially in situations where there's no hope. Your hope is being challenged. You feel like there is no hope, you know. That's that root. If that root's going to get pulled out, we need to trust God. When I'm not humble, when I don't have that gentle spirit, that Christ-like spirit, and I'm feeling my hope is all lost, man, I'm going to take care of it. No. Our hope's in God. Let him take care of it. But not in an abusive situation. I hope that didn't sound like that. A spirit of humility, having the mind of Christ, who humbled himself. Philippians 2. I think I kind of spoke to that a little bit earlier. A quiet or peaceful spirit is also Christ-like. Those still waters that run deep. We need that. All right, for the unbelieving spouse who observes a loved one of this deep kind of faith, and these qualities are shining forth. Not perfectly, but they're shining forth. It has an effect on them. And for a spouse or loved one disobedient to the word, to the truth, you know, they know the right thing to do and they're not doing it. We've all been there. All of us, each and every one of us, we've known the right thing to do and we're not doing it. That's disobedience to the word. That's one piece of it. We'll leave it at that. We understand what that means. But what is our role? Well, it says they can be one, even us, even without a word spoken. Wow. You don't have to say a thing. There's plenty of miracles like that. Back in the revivals, Charles Spurgeon day, he'd have men come weeping to him. They hated God. They hated church life. They didn't want to go to these revivals. but they saw such a change in wives or family members, or maybe a friend, that it penetrated their soul without a word. How we live. You know what comes out is, it's the glory of God that comes out. It's Christ that comes out. It's less of us, none of us, and it's all Christ. But without a word, we could speak on that longer, but we're not going to today. Verses 3 and 4, this is key. It's taken a while to get to the key verse, hasn't it? But we've got nothing else to do today, right? Oh, I do. We're moving the family. Yeah. It's not just for wives, but for all believers. Don't let your attractiveness, your adornment, be merely external by what you're wearing, how you look, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. I forget how the message put it, but very, very good. I like both. The hidden person of the heart with the imperishable qualities. This is precious in the sight of God. There's something inside us spiritually that can come out. Precious in the sight of God. And it has imperishable qualities. They will never pass away. All things else, even gold, is perishable. The Word of God, our faith, the presence of Jesus Christ. So it's our inner beauty, our faith in God, being in Christ. It's being filled with the Spirit. This is the only lasting attractiveness, adornment. And what is from a human standpoint, humble and quiet, when it's most needed, it says it's wonderfully extravagant in God's sight. And God views a humble and gentle spirit as lavish beauty. This comes from the Passion Translation, another great translation, his commentary. Lavish beauty. And accepting it as a prayer from the heart or a generous sacrifice. That's back in chapter 2, verse 5. And Psalm 51, King David said, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise in his prayer of confession. Well, I think the picture that Peter's painting and talking to the wives about is great for all of us. Now let's look at the last verse, verse 7. You husbands likewise. Uh-oh. You husbands likewise. Live with your wives in an understanding way. And here's more commentary, meaning with tenderness or intimate insight. This is from the Passion Translation commentary. Realistically, live with them realistically. Considerateness is there. That is with consideration of what they desire and delight in. Not ignorant of their preferences. As equals making a home. I love that. As equals making a home. Again, husbands, we are to lay down our life for our wives. And take that on for yourself, each and every one of us. You know, how am I laying down my life for my loved ones? To be Christ-like. And they're to love their wife as Christ loved the church. Is that not submission as well? It's servanthood. As men, we are to outserve our wives if we're married, to outserve our families. That's Christ's way. Not like we're keeping tabs. I'm up on you, a couple, honey. No. Quietly, but effectively, outserving our wives. You know, if we are married, or if, a dad or a grandpa, You know, what's the love language of our family members, of our children, or if married, of our wives? And you can flip it around of the husbands. What's their love language? Well, work on filling their love tank. And that's hard. You got to lay down your time, you know, and acts of service, encouragement, gifts, touch, time, and the like. But it says in verse 7, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. What? What did it say, a weaker vessel? I don't know about that. Well, the weak means they didn't have any power in that day. You know, they were in debt to somebody. Female orphans and widows, they got exploited all the time. So they needed somebody to protect them, like a Boaz over a Ruth. There was no protection. That's the weakness. It's more of a monetary thing. There may be more to that, but that's going back to the literal translation. They were without an advocate or covering of protection. But the word vessel is very interesting. It's an Aramaic word. It's M-A-N-A. But there's a Phoenician word connected to it for clothing. And then the root word of that word for clothing is the word for the outrigging of a ship, like the main sail or the jib sail. You know, maybe the rudder as well, the outrigging for a ship. Is Peter describing the wife as the outrigging of the marriage that helps keep the relationship on course and strong and moving? I like that. So husbands were to honor our wives in all ways, for they are co-heirs of the divine grace of life. Then your prayers will not be hindered. If we jump to verse 12, which will be read next week, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. And there's a flip side, the unrighteous, no. Likewise, in the same manner as Christ, husbands and wives, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. As we conclude, it's all a matter of the heart, isn't it? It's a matter of the heart. Where are our hearts tethered today? Many of us are probably thinking about something else. You know, there's just something, you know. And it's probably very important. And there's stress about this or that. Or just the things of the world. Where's our heart tethered? Or will you give your heart to God today, even in a new way, fully surrendering to God? Because I want you to shine forth through me in all my relationships. So give the Lord your life. Give the Lord your heart. Give him everything. And also today, let us bring our burdens and the hurts. If anyone needs prayer, you'll feel a touch of God even if you don't come forward. But if you're remembering something, you know, done to you, or maybe some of us have something we've done to others, you know, in our family relationships. But we can bring it all to the Lord. You know, everyone who's feeling worn down from broken relationships or mistreatment, some carry their wounds for years. God doesn't want that. Leave it all here today. God wants to bring healing and restoration and Christ-likeness to emerge so beautifully from within you because he loves you. He's called you. And because there's a hopeless, helpless world out there waiting to see Jesus. Not when he returns one day, because his presence is here today, and let it invade and penetrate our lives that all might see his glory. So, during the song, as you see in the bulletin, you can come forward. But also let the song be our prayer. It's about the heart. It's about our life. It's about our surrender. And maybe we'll just remain seated. That might make it difficult for movement, but we've got some good spaces here today if you want to come forward. But let us just remain seated and give our lives to the Lord in a fresh way, because a world needs to see Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, it is our time to give back to you. You have blessed us beyond all that we could even imagine. And this is our time with our hands open and our hearts free that we can give back to you a blessing like no other. Oh Lord, we give you the thanks and the praise for all you've done across this earth and all you are doing. Even now, in the distresses of life, you are in our lives with us, no doubt for great plans that we are only seeing glimpses of. So, Lord, we just ask that blessing to continue to flow so that we can continue to give only as we see fit to open our hearts to you and do what you have called us to. Let us continue in our worship with the doxology and song as you bring your gifts to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you as you go out. Remember just time of fellowship and connecting with one another. May the wonderful grace of Jesus continue to touch us and reach us day in and day out that we might reach the world for Christ. The Lord bless you indeed. Amen.